One of the stories that NPR News is following today is the unfolding crisis in the Ukraine. Joining us now from the Independence Square in Kyiv is NPR's Lawrence Sheets. For a second straight night, tens of thousands of people are out in the streets of the Ukrainian capital. Lawrence, what can you tell us about the scene there?
Actually, Neil, I'm up near the presidential administration building. Just a few hours, several thousand demonstrators broke off from that larger demonstration on Independence Square, which you spoke of, where there are over 100,000 people. Now out here, there are about 3,000 people. The government quickly, the soldiers outside of the presidential residence, put up big dump trucks with cement slabs in them, and the thousands of protesters out here have basically taken over those trucks. They're standing on top of them, in between them, and they're shouting the name of their candidate, Yushchenko, the opposition leader, of course, and also making other slogans such as out with Kuchma, down with Kuchma, Kuchma is a criminal, criminals back in prison, etc.
Leonid Kuchma is the current president of Ukraine.
Yes, President Kuchma has been in control of Ukraine for the last 10 years. And, of course, Viktor Yanukovych, his hand-picked successor, member of the government, the man who allegedly won the presidential election over the weekend. President Kuchma is, you can hear the screaming behind me. President Kuchma is very much a target of these demonstrators at this point.
I'm hoping you can hear me, Lawrence, over the shouting, but as this smaller demonstration broke off to march to the presidential palace, Yulia Tymoshenko, one of the people who's in favor of the opposition leader, Viktor Yushchenko, said, "We are going to the presidential administration in a peaceful way, but either they will give up their power or we will take it."
Tymoshenko has a history of making those sorts of statements. I can tell you that it is completely peaceful out here, although this contingent of people are a little bit more militant than the atmosphere we've seen on the square, which has been more like a party and a celebration, really, of a country coming out of its political dormancy. Of course, Ukraine won its independence 13 years ago. But Ukrainians, what they'll say, we're too passive with this independence. This has been a quasi-authoritarian government for the past 10 years under President Kuchma. He has a troubled relationship with the West. Many members of his inner circle, his government, cannot even travel to the United States on visas because they have very checkered reputations. Mr. Kuchma has been accused of ordering political murders. And, of course, we have this last drama, which is this apparently falsified presidential election on Sunday, won, according to the government, by Mr. Kuchma's hand-picked successor. According to the opposition, that election was stolen, and international observers say the falsification was obvious.
Let us hear some of that chanting just for a moment, will you, Larry?
I'll walk just up closer to you so you can hear it. It rises and falls depending on what the mood is in the crowd. Most of them are waving orange flags, which has become the symbol of the opposition. They're emblazoned with the word tak, which means yes in Ukrainian. Orange, also the color of the Ukrainian harvest. It's an important color. It's also a contingent color in the flag. It's a yellowish sort of orange, and this whole crowd is decked out in these orange banners and orange scarves, orange coats, orange windbreakers, a whole sea of orange. And we've been seeing it all over the city today.
Those tens of thousands stayed in the streets all night last night. It is obviously very cold in Kyiv in late November. Are they saying that they will stay there until their demands are met?
Without question, they say they're going to stay there until their demands are met. And as a matter of fact, when this all began on Sunday night, they were able to muster a few tens of thousands of people. The numbers have been growing every hour and every day. Even at 3 o'clock in the morning, I went down to that square last night. There were still tens of thousands of people around. There are hundreds of tents picked along the Krytachik, which is the main thoroughfare in Kyiv. These people have no intention of going home. And we saw as many as 250,000 people in the streets of Kyiv today.
And just as a reminder, there have been warnings of violence today, but you've seen none so far.
There's absolutely no sign that this is going to turn violent unless the government tries to crack down. It appears to me that the government has very little choice, that it really can't crack down. There are simply too many people out in the streets. It's very similar to what we saw in 1989, for instance, in Czechoslovakia, where you had hundreds of thousands of people out in the streets of Prague. You don't take on these types of numbers of people. people simply would not forget the government, and I'm not sure the army would carry out orders to try to restore order at this point.
Lawrence Sheets, thank you very much. We'll stay tuned for your reports later today.
Thank you, Neil.
Lawrence Sheets, NPR's correspondent in Kiev, speaking with us live by phone from near the presidential building there. Joining us here in Studio 3A to continue this conversation is Taras Kuzio, a visiting professor at the Elliott School of International Affairs at George Washington University, an expert on contemporary Ukraine, just returned from a visit there, and it's good of you to be with us.
Thank you.
Things are obviously unfolding as we speak. As I understand, you returned from Ukraine yesterday. You were one of the election observers?
Yes, I was, from the National Democratic Institute.
And did, from your point of view, was there any question that this election was fair?
These elections were completely non-fair and non-free. I attended various meetings on Sunday with all of the Western organizations and representatives of the Bush administration, Senator Lugar. There's no question that everybody is unanimous in declaring the elections to have been not free and fair and to have been highly fraudulent. After the first round of the elections, which were also not free and fair, Western organizations and the Bush administration talked about the need to not repeat this in the second round. In fact, what happened in the second round was that the second round violations were even worse than those in the first round, and so blatant and obvious. This was a sign of desperation on the part of the authorities that they knew they couldn't win.
Tell us a little bit about the background to this election. Obviously, as we heard from Lawrence Sheets, Mr. Kuchma has been the president in Ukraine for the past 10 years.
Well, the background is that, and why it's become to a crisis, is that 10 years of President Kuchma are now finishing. We have President Kuchma, as well as his members of his oligarchic allies. All of them are very afraid of being out of power because they're very afraid of the opposition coming to power. President Kuchma himself is implicated in a whole range of crimes, including the murder of opposition journalist Kongadze. And these issues began to unfold against the authorities from November 2000, when the so-called Kuchmagate crisis began, when tapes made in President Kuchma's office revealed him to have been involved in various shenanigans. So what we've had since November 2000 is a political crisis in Ukraine, which has deepened and got worse. This culminated in the 2002 parliamentary elections, where the opposition won, and where for the first time in Ukraine's history, the communists were no longer the main opposition force to Kuchma, but Mr. Yushchenko was the main opposition candidate. So we had for the first time a non-left-wing, non-communist alternative to President Kuchma. And this year, there's no question in my mind, I've been following the election campaign since early July, that the authorities never intended to hold a free and fair election. Their fear was that Yushchenko would win. And so what the authorities have done is they've done various things to try and prevent Yushchenko winning the elections, including even an alleged poisoning against Viktor Yushchenko in September.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the differences between the two parties represented, first by Mr. Yushchenko, the opposition leader, and the Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych?
The main difference is, in some ways, this is a clash of civilization, a clash of two different political cultures. Prime Minister Yanukovych is Kuchma light or heavy, he's quite bigger, and he will, in effect, continue President Kuchma's policies.
What does that mean? I mean, we keep hearing pro-Russian, people who live in Ukraine?
I think this is an exaggeration. They used pro-Russian rhetoric during the elections to try and get on their side Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine, and in particular to get on their side President Vladimir Putin, who did endorse Yanukovych as a candidate. But this pro-Russianism, pro-Westernism is, I think, misplaced. What we really are talking about is that the elections are a referendum on 10 years of Kuchma. If you don't like those 10 years, then you're going to support Mr. Yushchenko, the opposition candidate. And that's why all young people, for example, are supporters of Mr. Yushchenko.
Whether they speak Ukrainian or whether they speak Russian.
Regardless of what they speak, because they see Mr. Yushchenko, especially now after these tremendous violations, as representing a break with that corruption and democratic regression and the infringing of human rights which took place under President Kuchma. And so Mr. Yanukovych is seen as somebody who was in favor of the status quo, in favor of continuing those policies, whereas Mr. Yushchenko is seen as somebody changing. And so if you want change, you support Mr. Yushchenko. What's worked in favor of these mass protests is that many people who normally are not interested in politics, and there are many of those, have joined the protests because of A, they don't want a candidate such as Mr. Yanukovych to win the elections. He has a criminal background and he comes from a very criminalized part of Ukraine. And secondly, because of the numerous violations in the elections, even turned off normally politically passive people who made them join the opposition camp. So you had the swelling of the ranks of the opposition to a greater degree. And this has made, in a sense, Mr. Yushchenko as a very big symbol of change and an alternative.
We're speaking with Taras Kuzio, a visiting professor at the Elliott School of International Affairs at George Washington University, about the crisis in Ukraine. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller in on the conversation. Jim is with us from Kent, Ohio.
Oh, yes. I'd like to know the positions of the two candidates as far as NATO expansion, and if that is a factor as to why we support one over the other.
NATO enlargement isn't an issue in the campaign. Foreign policy issues in general are not really issues in the campaign. The campaign is really having a referendum on Kuchma's 10 years, and it's really dealing with domestic policies.
I think getting back to Jim's question, does the Bush administration favor one side over the other? Have they expressed a preference?
Not in the sense of in the way that President Putin has overtly intervened in the election campaign. President Bush actually has been very cautious. If we'd have had a Democratic administration in the US, they'd have been far more critical and maybe in support of the opposition. But because of the Iraqi question, the Bush campaign has been very cautious in not really being critical of President Kuchma and the election campaign. This criticism from the Bush administration only really began in October. They were very afraid that Ukraine, which has the fourth largest military contingent in Iraq, would pull out troops like Spain had prior to the US elections. And so the Bush administration has been very cautious. NATO enlargement isn't really an issue and has hardly been discussed, if at all, in the elections.
Okay. Jim, thank you. I wanted to ask also about the attitude of the other superpower, but no more, but certainly regionally the other superpower, and that is Russia right next door to Ukraine. Obviously, Ukraine used to be part of the Soviet Union. Mr. Putin has expressed a preference, as you said, for the Prime Minister, Viktor Yanukovych. How deep does this alliance between the Kuchma wing of in Ukraine and the Kremlin go?
President Putin has intervened in the Ukrainian elections to an extent unprecedented in any other election in the former USSR. And his intervention even led to him coming to Ukraine 3 days before round one for a big military parade, which itself was brought forward.
Let me just interject that there were two rounds of the presidential election. If no one got an absolute majority in round one, then there was to be a runoff. The runoff is just what we just saw. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And in the case of his intervention, I think that they understood that their complete overt intervention backfired. And so what we saw in round two was, in a sense, Russia backing off and taking a more relatively more neutral stance. Yesterday, we heard that President Putin congratulated Mr. Yanukovych. Today, we see Russia backtracking on that and saying he actually only meant the exit polls, not the official result. So I think Russia itself is confused. Russia, like the authorities, I think underestimated the reaction of the Ukrainian population to this. They thought that they would lie down, take it like they had in the 1990s, and they never expected this. And so Russia itself is sort of gone too far in support of Yanukovych, then backtracked, and then... So I think it's confused. It has overplayed this fear that somehow if Mr. Yushchenko is elected, then straight away this will mean greater American influence and NATO membership, which is not the case.
You heard Lawrence Sheets earlier say that he didn't think this was going to be resolved. It would be possible for the riot police or the army to open fire or try to contain the demonstrators. How do you think, and I'm afraid we just have a few seconds left, but how do you think this is going to be resolved?
I don't think the military are a problem. The military have been cooperating with NATO and bilaterally with the US and Britain for the last 10 years through NATO's Partnership for Peace. And the military have become very pro-Western and pro-NATO. The fear is more the internal interior ministry, where there are these special force units. But I'd be very surprised if they could take on 250,000, 500,000 people. The numbers are just too great. 20,000, 10,000, yes, but not such large numbers. Already on Sunday evening when I was in Kiev, I was shocked and surprised to see on television police officers going on live television saying that they would refuse to shoot at Ukraine demonstrators. They refuse such orders. So what we have is a slow breakdown of the authorities. Mm-hmm.
Taras Kuzio, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Taras Kuzio of George Washington University, just back from Ukraine. Obviously, you can stay tuned to NPR News for the latest developments as the political drama continues to unfold in Kiev. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.